We open back on the bus, further back in the back with the cool kids, with star running back Cale Molesley. We see him making conversation with others on the bus, casual. We see him asking Mo a question at the visitor center. We see him and the rest of the class hiking further into the shadows after you guys had been lost. He starts to tie his shoe, and the rest of the class kind of creates some space, makes a little distance there. He starts to, try to catch up to them, starts calling out to people. He notices something behind him, something suspicious. He starts running, sprinting into the shadows, trying to find anybody he knows. Something behind him lunges. We hear a scream, a scuffle, a smack. We open back up to see Cale limping towards a tree, blood oozing from somewhere. He climbs the tree. Off in the distance, he hears some screaming, and he sees some of his classmates surrounded by three ghosts, and it's a very intense scene. He starts to figure what could he possibly do to help these classmates in need, and then right as he's starting to get down from the tree to call out to help them do something, a tremendous wave of Scottish poetry just blasts out from the group and decimates two of the ghosts, and two of the party members collapse to the ground. He's a little shocked and a little blown away, but he calls out again, starts running towards them to see if he can help, see if he can do anything. As he hits the ground, he sees one of them pull a knife and throw it into the sister across one of the other members, and they're down. It's a whole lot of confusion over there, but he's running over trying to help them. Stepping through the brush, we hear a slight click, pressure releasing, and then we cut to black. Hi, welcome back to Queering People's Saving Throws, our little D&D's queer podcast. Did you guys want to introduce yourself real quick, throw ourselves back into the game?
I'm KJ, my pronouns are she, they, and I play Courtney, whose pronouns are she, her. And Courtney's a twin, her sister Lizzie's also on this trip. But fun fact about Courtney and Lizzie, they have different birthdays.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's always fun. Like, how far apart were they born?
Like 20 minutes. This happens to be 20 minutes that we're on two sides of the new day.
Nice. Wow.
They're born in a different time zone. It would have been the same day, but it all just worked out.
I would have had some more questions there.
They changed time zones within...
It's daylight savings time.
I'm sure that, that must happen.
That must happen, where like a twin is born and then the other twin is born technically earlier, even though they're born second. That must have happened at least once in the history of humanity.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Or at least in the history of time zones, because time zones are dumb things that we made up, but...
So I'm Elena. My character is Gemma. My pronouns are she, they. Gemma's are she, her. And my fun fact about my character is that her favorite ice cream is mint chocolate chip.
Ooh.
It's a great fun fact that I wish I had thought of.
One of my favorite things, like every time I have a character, one of the very first questions I ask myself about a character is what is their favorite ice cream? Because I think it's vitally important to know this.
Smart. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Informs a lot about them.
My favorite ice cream for many, many years was mint chocolate chip.
It's a good one.
All growing up, that was my favorite.
Hi, I'm Sam. My pronouns are she, they. I play Mo, whose pronouns are they, them. Fun fact about Mo, they used to be a competitive climber.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a fun fact.
You're going to have to use...
helpful at some point.
Yes, they have very strong fingertip strength. So I don't know if that'll come in handy, but...
Oh, I bet it will. How could it not?
Yeah.
It's a specific skill.
Yeah, it's very specific.
Outdoor climbing or indoor climbing?
Both, mainly outdoor.
That seems to fit with their character. That's the...
Underwater climbing.
Yeah, they are a nature lover, outdoor all the time kind of person.
Hello, I am August. My pronouns are they, them, and I play Avery, pronouns he, him. And my fun fact about Avery today is that when he gets Skittles, he separates only the green ones and saves them to eat them last.
Ooh. Only the green ones, though.
But they're okay. The best ones, I'm assuming.
They're the favorite is the green one.
So Avery doesn't subscribe to the all Skittles are the same flavor. It's just the scent that's different.
They're absolutely not the same flavor.
No.
They are.
I had a child use that as a fun fact, the fact that Skittles are all the same flavor. I had a child a couple of days ago explain to me very seriously, like I had never heard it before, be like, did you know all Skittles are the same flavor?
No, the fuck they aren't. Are you...
I don't believe that.
We can't have this conversation.
They're absolutely not.
But look it up afterwards. They are, but it's fine.
They are. But Avery, the green ones are the best. Okay. But scent also influences taste. So,
scent and taste are so close.
All I'm going to say is that I knew I could trust Avery. Hard agree.
Okay. Well, now that we've met everybody, the ice has
been
broken.
We haven't met you, actually. You've said nothing about yourself.
Who are you, omnipotent narrator?
Listen to me. I am Noah, the omnipotent narrator of this story. And fun fact about me, Skittles are the same flavor. Okay, so moving on.
From omnipotent, there are so many fun facts you could use.
No, you played like 8 characters. You could give a fun fact about any one of them.
Okay, fun fact about Houston Hank, the bus driver.
Yes.
He was not nicknamed Houston because of the city. It's not related to the city, but he hates Houston. He's never been there before.
It wasn't until you said it the second
he
time.
He hates it, but he's never been there before?
Yeah. Then I remembered that we were in San Antonio because Houston's very far away from me geographically.
That's it's not a place so
to
true. Think
about. I would like to ask a question about how realistic is it that someone who's a bus driver has never been to Houston.
Unrealistic. To avoid Houston,
he would have had to
take such a big job.
I know Texas is big.
It is huge. Houston's about 5 hours away from San Antonio. Really, but
maybe he mostly drives locally.
He refuses to take any job that will take him through Houston.
He will not go to Louisiana unless it's through the north section. He is very anti-Houston.
Take a long road just to avoid Houston.
Yep.
At this point, the nickname's just because of his hatred for Houston.
Probably a better, Well, now that we've met everybody, ice has been completely shattered. We can do a little recap of the last episode. Then we'll pick right back up.
Okay, so our class trip to Big Bend, totally didn't turn out how we wanted. It got off to, such a rough start, and I didn't even want to be here.
Us four got separated from the rest of the group and then heard screams from every direction.
We were really able to come together and ended up being able to defeat some intense-ass ghosts.
And I got knocked the fuck out and, seemed to be okay, but, I don't know, not feeling my greatest at this particular moment. But just as I came back to it, we heard a familiar voice.
You're all in this little nice clearing. The ghosts have been dissipated and the threat is no longer. It's still a little anxiety inducing knowing that they came out of the ground and could come out of the ground anywhere around you. It's a little spooky vibes going on. And you heard a familiar voice coming at you from just across the clearing.
Shh, you guys hear that? Is anyone else hearing that?
Did I remember who this voice is?
No. It's just the person from the cold open. A person on the bus.
What was that guy's name again?
Actually, roll perception.
Everyone?
Yes. If you want to try to remember where you know this voice from.
Definitely want to remember.
You don't necessarily have to.
I have 17.
I got a 15.
I rolled 11.
14.
August and Sam recognize Cale Mosley. He's one of the star football players at the college, San Antonio College. You haven't hung out with him much, but you know about him. You've interacted a few times in classes, been paired together on projects here and there, but he is coming towards you guys across this clearing. You can see he had just come out of a tree, it seems, and is walking towards you guys, shouting, hey, you guys okay? Hey, is everybody okay over there? As he's coming closer, about 20, 25 feet away.
Hey, I think that's, what's his name, Cale?
Yeah, it is.
As he is reaching 10 feet away from you, he says, oh my gosh, what was that? Was that just a Scottish poem? Something just ripped apart. Are you guys okay?
I wish I knew how to explain what just happened.
And as soon as you finish saying that, he steps past this bush. You hear a click. You hear some pressure release. And he is engulfed in flames instantly. Green and blue and purple flames.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God. Courtney was about to yell at whichever one of you stabbed her sister, but...
roasting him alive in a half of a second. And then he's ashed.
Oh, shit.
Oh, he's immediately...
He's gone.
He's immediately dead.
Burnt up. Whoa. So quick.
Oh my God, that guy is, totally dead.
Yeah, I think Avery is going to start taking, a step towards him, and then we'll realize it is too late immediately, and then he's gonna, leap back from whatever the fuck this is.
Yeah. And you notice that you didn't feel any warmth off of the fire. There was no heat as you're kind of adjusting to your surroundings. Oh my God, what the fuck just happened? You see, roll investigation. I hate just trying to set the scene and then it's like...
You're like, oh wait, yeah. You should okay, know
well,
that.
Well, maybe we should do something.
I got 15.
Okay, Mo, instantly you see climbing down out of the tree, Kale Mosley coming across the field saying, hey, are you guys okay?
Rolled a one.
Courtney starts looking the opposite direction and is staring directly into the setting sun. And yeah, your eyes hurt.
There's a bird and, and the sun's bright.
And Lizzie says, oh my God, is that just the same guy that just died? My shoulder hurts from this knife that you stabbed me with, Gemma. I haven't forgotten about that. But that guy's not dead again, so maybe we should deal with that first.
Okay, Mo waves him over. Hey, Kale! Kale, is that you?
He starts getting closer, as he did before, but does not seem to register the hand wave or what you said. And he says, hey, are you guys okay? What was that? Was that a Scottish poem? That was crazy. And takes another few steps closer, walks next to a bush. You hear a click. Pressure releasing, and then flames engulf his entire body, and he's gone.
Avery looks at everyone else and yells, y'all, we need to get the fuck away from here, and, starts backing up far and kind of puts out a hand to, basically be like, don't pass me. We need to stop moving.
Mo also takes that direction and helps guide people away from the fire.
Backing towards the woods where everything's all spooky and okay. I like it.
I feel like Gemma trips or something.
Can Mo do a count of people?
Yeah. You see Courtney, you see Avery, Lizzie, Gemma, and you see Kale climbing down from the tree and starting to come across the field. Calling out to you guys.
Am I still staring at the sun? Because
you looked away from the sun now. I'm sorry. You're good.
Have I noticed anything that's happening? Because
Yeah, you've tuned back in and you see him coming across the field for the third time.
Oh my God. Is that guy gonna die again? Because I definitely think we're gonna die out here if we just keep watching this kid die.
I mean, it can't be good for our karma.
Can we yell at him not to go near that bush? Is that a thing that we could do?
Yeah. Roll persuasion. And tell me what you say.
We're all rolling that?
No, just KJ.
I rolled six.
Oh, womp. You sure we're not going to roll persuasion?
Yeah, no, see, once somebody fails, you can absolutely jump in there. And
I was saying that Avery was going to yell, and then I also rolled persuasion, and I got a 15 to persuasion.
I got a 26.
Okay. So in order, Courtney says, hey, stop, and he does not register.
Does not
and is still moving. Hey, are you guys okay? Avery says,
stop where you are.
He does not register it and keeps walking. Hey, are you guys all right? Then Gemma calls out again and says,
stop running.
Can I use my spell?
Yes. He says, oh my God, what was that? Was that a Scottish poem or something? And then Mo, you cast.
I want to cast the Entangle spell.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. Yeah. Go for it.
To stop him. Keep him where he is.
Let's see.
Do I have to roll to cast it?
Nope. It just happens. So you mark one of your spell slots gone. And then a bunch of thorns and vines come up from the ground and wrap around his legs and feet. And so he is in the midst of singing his line about the Scottish poems. And oh, that was crazy. And he stops short. Just before the faded bush that you know is going to spell his demise, if he was able to continue. And he just sort of stops. His face is not quite emotionless, but not quite naturally moving.
Stay where you are, man. Just calm down. Stay where you are. You're all right.
I got a question. We sure that is human? Avery says this in a low enough tone, like, is not saying this loudly, is saying this to the party.
Okay. Gotcha.
To be clear.
I wouldn't fit on it at this point.
That as in kale?
Considering we just saw him totally on fire. Of course, yeah. That's not a human being.
Considering we just saw him, you know, turn to ash twice now, I'm not convinced. Something's up.
Gemma, will you roll Arcana?
Oh, yes, I will.
You're very excited about that.
I'm sorry. Okay, roll a 12.
Oh, okay. So with your 12, you remember far back in your training with your grandmother, you recall them mentioning something about death causing a sort of loop for individuals upon occasion. But you can't quite pull anything else more. You do know that it's supernatural in nature.
I say this to the group.
You can, yeah.
It's reminded me of something my grand used to tell me about with people being stuck in a death loop.
A what loop?
A loop. That totally makes sense. Maybe he is human.
Death was he's so traumatic that he just keeps reliving it. And we keep seeing it.
So he's not alive.
I don't think he is. I think he's about as alive as the ghost we were just fighting.
I vote that we get the hell out of here. Courtney's already starting to pick stuff up off the ground. Like, Courtney's ready to pack up and leave.
Lizzie's picking up the lipstick and the net, getting it all ready to go.
Avery is kind of standing there a little wary, like isn't getting his stuff distinctly. Kind of looks like he's about to step towards Kale.
I would go near him if I were you.
Gemma, do you know how to stop it?
He's stuck. You can't just, you know, leave him here.
I don't remember that part.
I mean, we totally could just leave him here. Somebody else did, it seems.
He's like totally dead, and I have no intention of being also dead today. Thank you.
Is he still entangled?
Yes, but not for long. It lasts a minute, so...
If he's stuck in a loop...
I don't know there's much we can do for him.
He's just gonna, like,
to put him to rest, but there's not much left of him.
He's just gonna, like, relive his death over and over forever?
And it seems like how I lived most of high school.
Avery looks extremely distressed at this idea. Like, extremely distressed.
No, I have a question that maybe you can't answer at this exact moment. Did something that we did in that fight kill this kid?
I feel like that's not an ordinary.
No.
There's no way we're allowed to know that.
He saw a good chunk of that fight. I'm just saying.
You could roll some investigation on...
Oh, it hasn't been my strong suit, but I'm going to try it. I rolled a 7, so I'm guessing I don't find out anything.
You can tell something interesting about the tree. There's a lot of blood marks on the tree.
Can I have like a magic book for my grandmother and like, I don't know, like I roll something to check it?
Yeah, like a little, like a notebook type thing. Like, yeah, notes
like, a
that
little,
you took.
Like a little book of shadows from my grandmother that has a bunch of magic-y shit.
It's going to require wisdom saving throws to read it properly because of your memory issues.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
Whip out the book and see if you got anything there.
Yeah. So which one am I going to be rolling for?
Let's roll wisdom.
So it was a 19.
Beautiful. Okay, so you open the book, you flip through it to the last time you can see loops or death repeats some sort of echo, and you find a little note that you've made about death echoes.
Okay.
Something your grandma taught you about. Way back when, is that sometimes when somebody is filled with a lot of pure emotion and are met with a tragic end, sometimes that collides and creates a spirit who is forced to relive the moment of death again and again and again until something or somebody can impact them enough to break them out of it.
Okay. It's a death echo.
Okay, what can we do about it?
It says that if someone dies, then they can get stuck and trapped in a loop where they have to relive that violent death over and over again. And it says you can break them from the loop, but you have to make some kind of connection with them.
As soon as you say that, the entanglement wears off. He steps forward, hits the switch, you hear it click, pressure release, and he's engulfed in flames again.
What is that? Is anyone else noticing that sound? Every time just before he steps up, there's like a click and a... Is anyone else hearing that or is it just me?
Yeah, it's a trigger point or something. We got to stay back, you guys.
I mean, if it's a death echo, can't hurt us, right?
We don't know that. We don't know anything.
Sounds like we know some stuff.
Totally killed that guy.
I think so.
Dude, what do we do? We're just trying to get out of here alive. We can't blame ourselves for it.
And you see Kale climb down out of the tree again.
I just don't think, I can watch. And then Avery takes off towards Kale.
Towards Kale?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, Kale is walking across the clearing and he's saying, hey, is everybody okay over there?
Avery,
be careful.
Wants to avoid the spot where like we were hearing the clicking sound, but Avery is actually just going to try and tackle Kale. Like, he's just going to try and like body slam him into the ground. He's just trying anything that will work at this point.
I mean, the vines
work. He's a little desperate. So he is just going to try and like body slam and knock him down before he can
go hard.
Love it. Let's do a strength roll.
Yeah.
Got this.
One of the things I'm good at. 18.
That's beautiful.
Good enough to tackle a ghost.
He does not save, and you full body tackle him just as he's making it about halfway across the courtyard. You successfully avoid the danger area, and you've tackled him to the ground. You've got a minute to decide if you want to try to hold him there, or he's going to try to get back up.
Yeah, Avery's going to kind of like use his arms to just kind of like pin him down and be like, look, fella, you can't, I don't know how to tell you this, but you can't. And he's just sort of like stalling out.
As he's sitting there, his eyes were really glazed over and not really focused on much, but they seem to come back to you for a moment there because you've adjusted something very heavily and he needs to figure out how to get back on track.
Listen, I don't know what happened to you, but it wasn't good. And he's going to like look behind him at Gemma and like a little bit desperately like, how do I?
And Courtney just yell it. I feel like Courtney would just yell it.
Cool. Yeah, anyone intervene. He's looking at Gemma desperately, like, help me. Like, help
dude,
me.
Dude, you like totally fucking died. I'm really sorry, but you're definitely dead.
So dead.
Not helping.
Not trying to.
Gemma walks over, like, really slowly and is just nervous and, like, trying, like, in the walk is, like, trying to figure out, like, fuck, how do we get this guy to realize he's dead? And then, like, kind of kneels down, like, next to the two of them.
I just want to paint a little bit of a picture of the, positioning here, because it's very clear in my mind, and I realize I haven't described it very well. But he's, like, Avery's, like, fully, like, all, like on top of him, like,
yeah, that's what I pictured.
Bodily holding.
Bodily holding. Like, fully his entire body is on top of Kale's body. It's, yeah. It was a decision that he made.
I thought that was clear.
Okay,
like, I thought that was clear. I'm like kneeling down next
it's
to
it's a little bit of, it's a very,
a lot of sexual tension.
It's right a very intimate now. Position. Yeah, like, it wasn't intentional. It just sort of happened that way. I don't know. Maybe,
I mean, you tackled maybe him and he's a football player. So, like,
yeah. I'm not going to say it
has to go
type,
full force.
I just need you guys to know that the only thing I want to do right now is look at Avery and go, you got to be gay for that dead end.
Supernatural doesn't exist yet, Alina.
It's 2003.
2004 or 2003.
I needed everyone to know that that's where the ring went.
Good.
Well, you know the energy I'm pulling to bring into this scene.
Yeah. You've got to let go.
Sorry. Kale says,
you let go of me.
Gabriel looks at her and is like, if I let him go, he's going to get up and die again.
Not you. He needs to let go. You got to get him to let go.
Avery's going to like look back at Kale and say, I think she's right. I think, yeah, you walk over there and something bad's going to happen again. And I just watched it happen twice. I don't think I can watch it again. So whatever she said, you got to figure out how to be okay with whatever happened to you. And
whatever it is you're holding on to, you've just got to let go.
You know, I'm sorry. And Avery just looks at him.
What's his reaction to this?
Roll charisma.
Okay.
Both. You're both pretty involved in that.
15.
Charisma. Carpenter.
I understood that reference.
23. baby.
As you say this, Kayla looks deep into your eyes and genuinely is present for the first time.
Whose eyes? My eyes?
Avery's. It's
okay. Yeah, I was like, it's gotta be.
We're like a half foot away.
It's hard not to look into Avery's eyes.
Yeah.
No, he looks at you and he takes a deep breath and he's like, oh, the fire. The fire is, okay. Oh, cool. So that's fine. Are you guys all okay, though?
Kale seems very nice.
we'll be all right.
Does Avery believe that?
Avery is trying to convince him.
Okay, so roll deception.
Because Avery is not 100% convinced of this based on the whole situation.
Nothing about today has led us to believe.
Ooh, that's a 10.
Straight 10.
Straight 10.
Then he looks at you, looks at the rest of the party, and is like, oh, so same as me. And then fades away just in front of you. No fire. Just fades away. And that's it.
So Avery suddenly slams into the ground
because Gemma checks that
his entire quarterback underneath him is suddenly gone. He's face plant.
But hey, it's a nice little soft grass. You stand up and you're kind of taking stock of your surroundings and you notice something odd. You thought it was just a clearing, but now you can tell because there's a little bit of a path going each direction. It's a bit more of a crossroads.
Can Mo at this point gathers the two others and brings them over to where Avery and Gemma are?
Corral them over to us.
Yes, we do need to be corralled.
Lizzie is not happy about it, but we'll follow.
We don't like to be rushed.
So you did it. You killed him again, I guess.
We didn't kill him. We just helped him let go. Well, Avery did.
Courtney is somewhat moved, I would say, by this. She was all on board for leaving, but she is somewhat moved by this.
Avery is going to turn away and scrub at his eyes for a second. And then she'll be like, I just landed on my face there, you know? Just give me a sec. Give me a sec.
Mo puts their hand on Avery's shoulder and is like, did good, man. Good job. You all right?
I think we better get out of here, you know?
Yeah, we totally need to get the fuck out of here before we're next.
I agree. There's a pretty clear direction we could go. We could go left, right, or straight, because we don't want to go back the way we came, right? Hit that.
That's right. We should take a moment, everybody, and just, take stock of our...
You know the park. Is there, a certain way we should go?
Yeah, this is seeming a little unfamiliar to me. Hold on, do I have a map in my bag?
You do. You do
have. You've got to have a map. You're a park ranger.
Let me pull my map out.
While Mo is checking the map, Courtney just pulls out a bottle of vodka and takes a drink.
Whoa.
Lizzie, do you do it stealthily or in front of everybody?
No, in front of everybody. Okay. Fucking day.
I hear that. I love it.
Gemma asks if she can have a sip.
Oh, yeah. Courtney is passing that bottle
around. Oh, yeah. Avery's taking a big old swig of that.
No one's talking. It's just a silent pass.
Just a little, take a little drink, pass it around.
Do I have to roll anything to interpret the map, Noah, or can I just...
Well, so as you're looking at it, it's really tough to tell any landmarks that apply to the map.
Mm.
And you can roll a nature check to see what you see around you. That could help.
Oh, shit. I got a 6.
A 6? Oof. Okay, yeah, there's nothing around that you can tell belongs to any spot on that map.
Okay, Mo is taking a second because they don't want anyone to know that they don't know where they are.
Taking a little extra long to look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They're flipping it around a little bit, you know.
Lizzie, he does not know where we're going. There's no chance.
They don't know where we're going.
Oh my God, I apologize. Hey, Mo.
Yeah.
Makes direct eye contact, looking straight into your soul. I'm so sorry. Genuinely, it hurts. I did not mean to do that.
It's all good.
Just to clarify, you don't know where we're going, right?
Mo takes a deep breath and is like, you know, to be honest, I don't. I mean, I know this park up and down, but this is not familiar. It's like it's changed or something.
I don't know about the rest of you, but something feels like we're not in Texas anymore.
Oh my God, it's just like that old movie. Corner, do you remember the old movie? I don't remember.
You know, book.
Shit. Yeah.
Sorry, Avery's just being a little shit.
It's fine.
Avery's being so mean.
I love this journey. So mean, for him.
Love it. He's feeling emotional, And he's dealing with it by projecting those feelings into being a little bit bitchy.
And that's having valid of him.
I think we're all allowed to be a little bitchy after what we've been through today.
But like, totally, like, lay off my sister. Like, you need to figure out how we're going to get out of here.
Can I climb a tree?
Yeah, absolutely.
So can you climb a tree?
The closest tree is right near you.
May you climb a tree? No.
May I suggest picking a tree that isn't either of the trees that Kale was just in or near?
Well, yeah.
The closest tree is the one that Kale was
in. I can endorse that.
Maybe not that tree.
All right, you guys, just stay here in a group. I'm going to climb up and get a look at our surroundings.
Okay, yeah. Roll survival.
22.
22. Love it. Okay, so you climb this tree. It's a pretty well-sized tree, and you get a nice, good vantage spot of the whole area. As you reach the top of the tree, you realize that you're in the middle of a valley. You thought that this was a big bend, and there's, you know, a lot of big flat area, not a lot of deep, recessed valley canyon type areas with this many trees. Feels a little off. But you can see to the south, there's a pillar of stone that naturally rises among all of these trees with some sort of dome on the top. You see smoke and buildings that resemble a slight village to the north. And then on the far eastern ridge, farthest possible section away from you, there's just on the ridge a small light, maybe from a house or a cottage or something. But you see a small light. Hope.
All right. Mo climbs back down the tree.
You don't have to roll for that. You make it. It's okay.
Okay. Roll to see if you get down the tree.
All right. You guys, I think Gemma might be right. I don't know if we're in Texas anymore, but I did see something. Looks like a village. Some smoke coming out. Looks like some inhabitants. So
Lizzie raises her hand.
Yes, Lizzie.
So you've been in charge, right, this whole time, basically?
I'm
kind of leading us into the next thing.
Sure. I mean, I guess it's kind of my job as the ranger.
And you have led us into a different place, a different state, possibly a different country than where we were.
I don't really know that it's Mo's fault. I don't really think we can reasonably blame the park ranger.
That's so fair. So fair. Just the responsible party who, Courtney, correct me if I'm wrong, but that sounds like kidnapping.
Definitely, totally kidnapping. You know how mad mom and dad are going to be about this?
Furious.
Okay, at this point, Mo is getting annoyed. Well, none of y'all are children, so I wouldn't say it was kidnapping. That is kidnapping. A fair point.
Lizzie and Courtney are 23 years old.
You know what?
Can't you kidnap adults too?
All right. I didn't fucking kidnap anyone. I'm just trying to get us out of this situation.
See, anyone Avery's else on have our
suggestions?
Side.
You can have suggestions.
Didn't say you kidnapped.
Mo is getting annoyed now.
A voice pipes up from just behind you and says, "Ooh, I do have a suggestion, actually."
Mo turns around quickly and looks at where the voice is coming from.
You spin around and you see the most snappily dressed motherfucker you've ever seen. Oh. This is a perfectly tailored suit, classic wingtips. It's a look. They don't look like they belong out in nature at all.
Even less than Courtney and Lizzie.
Even less so. They look like they have outfits for outside. He should never see the sunlight.
Can I just before we move on with the narrative, I do feel like it's really important to inform everyone that Lizzie and Courtney are dressed like Meredith in the Parent Trap, on the hike.
Complimentary colors.
It's a specific visual cue, and I appreciate that.
I just feel like that needed to be stated.
It did.
Such a good point of reference. I'm thrilled.
Anyway, we got to deal with this dude. Right, this guy is here.
So he says, "Actually, yes, I've just got the best suggestion. You guys could actually solve the problems that we're facing here. And I mean, fulfill your destinies probably, but that's neither here nor there. Who am I to say your destinies?"
Oh my God. Who are you? And who are you to say what my destiny is? I just came here to get this stupid credit so I could graduate and go to business school.
Well, you know, I really can't argue with that logic there.
Gemma wants to know how he knows this shit about us.
Yeah, roll insight. To see what you can discern about his intentions.
24.
Okay, and with a 24 roll, you can tell pretty well that he is not human and knows a lot about you guys because he potentially has some powers that could know what you're thinking. It's some sort of mental acuity, but you can't really tell much else about him. He says, I'm just a helper. I'm just somebody here to make sure you guys are guided to the right path. My name is just Kelly, the guy at the crossroads. We'll go with that. I'm just here to make sure you guys know what you're doing here, because it kind of seems like just been making it up as you go along, just walking to the next spot. And I mean, it's kind of worked out for you so far. Can't blame you. But haven't you noticed that things are a little different?
Can Gemma check her book again? Because she thinks she remembers something about crossroads being magical.
Absolutely.
And she doesn't really realize it till he says it. But she's like, wait a minute. We kind of are standing at a crossroads.
Roll Arcana.
I will.
Yee.
23. You open up directly to the page about crossroads demons and the dangers which they entail. I'm not going to give you a bunch of background on crossroad demons. You know the basic gist.
I feel like everybody here knows.
Yeah.
we may or may not know about it from a thing we can't talk about, but it's fine.
Well, yeah, we're here. You've got basically everything you could want to know about them in the book.
Okay. And so now Jem is panicking a little at this realization.
He sees the book and is like, hey, no. It's not like that. It's not something to be scared of. I'm just Kelly. I'm just Kelly the guy. Is there anything you guys need to know?
I mean, like, we'd kind of like to know which way to go.
I wouldn't trust him.
Don't you want to know, like, which way he's going to say we should go?
Wait, you guys, hold on. Can we take a step? Can we just talk as a group?
Of course. Yeah, no. You guys take as much time as you need to deliberate. I mean, I've got all the time in the world. No big deal.
Sure you do.
He takes this little step back and you guys form a little huddle, right? Yeah.
All right, Gemma, tell us what you know.
Okay, so Avery's just gonna I don't like it. I don't like it.
I think he's a crossroads demon.
A what?
Demon?
It's this piece of lore that my gran told me about, where if you're at a crossroads and you bury a couple of things, you can conjure a demon that will grant you a wish and you sell your soul. It's a whole thing. And like, he's coming off as, he's trying to be our friend. He's trying to be our buddy.
I'm sorry. You say demon?
So I don't know how to break it to y'all at this point. I mean, we faced several ghosts.
Well, Ghost,
the supernatural is a real thing.
Well, not questioning that.
That sounds so fake.
I know it does, but I promise you, my gran, and she taught me all about this stuff. It's real. I know it sounds like fantasy, but it's true. And I really think that's what he is. Look at us. We're at a crossroads, and we don't know where we are. We're somewhere that's not anywhere on a map. I don't know how it could be anything else. And I don't know that we should be trusting a demon.
Fine by me. I'd be quite happy not to trust.
Yeah, I feel like Courtney and Lizzie are kind of chill about this. Like, they are LA natives. I feel like if there's anywhere that crossroads demons are rampant, it is LA.
They're like, listen, I've been to Hollywood Boulevard, okay? Nothing.
Real quick, though, Courtney, would you roll perception?
Perception? Yeah.
Because I agree. I think that people who live in LA.
Okay.
At 20, baby.
I think you are correct that Courtney and Lizzie would be basically unbothered. But you notice as everybody's having this conversation, Lizzie separates from the group and goes over to try and talk to Kelly by herself. But nobody else notices except for Courtney.
Hell no.
Oh, somebody's have to decide whether or not I'm calling attention to that or.
Or just let the conversation go on as normal.
Mm. How far away are they?
It's 15 feet at most.
15 feet. Mm.
He can probably hear us from that distance.
He's got his hands over his ears for most of the time until Lizzie comes up.
I'm going to let her talk to him.
Okay, sweet.
He's going to let the chaos happen.
Yeah, I trust my sister.
Good call.
I'm not okay with this, but I don't know what else we could do.
You know what? I agree with Gemma. I don't think we should trust this person. And I really think, you know, our best chance is to go towards the village that I saw.
Friends close and enemies closer, though.
Well,
I feel like we can at least like find out like what he wants and like what he's offering.
Just don't agree to anything. If he tries to ask you a question that's like, yes, I would like to do this thing, don't say yes, because you could be selling your soul.
And you do a little break. Nice. Okay, we got it. Yeah. Then you turn around and you see Lizzie shaking hands with Kelly.
Oh, wow.
Oh, fuck. Avery says that very loud. Not at all subtle.
Lizzie kind of turns back to the group and is like, hey guys, I just met this new guy. We actually like started talking. He's actually just a guy. He's super friendly. Gemma, you were totally wrong. He's not a demon.
What did you agree to?
What? No, I didn't agree to
you
anything.
You shook his hand. What did you agree to?
Okay, rude bitch. I just met him. I like shaking people's hands whenever I meet them. You don't shake people's hands? Like, goddamn.
All right, Lizzie, there's no need to be rude.
You agreed to something, I know you did.
Oh, no, Lizzie, of course
it's like
not.
Literally never just a guy.
Avery nods very solemnly at that statement. Like, he understands. It's
Lizzie
never just
also nods.
Everyone like, needs to cackle.
Lizzie takes a step back away from Kelly and is like, giving him the eyes.
What did he say before you shook his hand?
He was giving me just a lowdown of the valley and everything that's happening and the troubles
so you
that the people
are. Soul for some information.
Not even. I don't think so. I
Lizzie,
didn't get that
why
much
were you
information.
Shaking his hand? Why'd you shake his hand?
It's
tell
like you guys have
Lizzie.
Never met somebody before in your life.
Lizzie, when you shook his hand, did you feel a buzz? Like something shake in his hat.
Some hair behind her ear. I mean, no more than usual. Gives him a little wink.
Oh my God.
That's just my natural charisma. I'm so sorry.
It's magic and you sold your soul.
No.
For some information we could have gotten by walking to the village.
Here, I'll give you guys the same information and I won't even touch anybody's hands. I'm so sorry that
you gave it to them. I did. That's their call. I don't want it.
Courtney wants to know it.
He starts launching into a little description of how this valley used to be plentiful and full of life and nature was rampant and everything had its place and its time and it was beautiful. And then people came in to try and control the magic and the wonder and the nature that was there and tried to shape it to fit their desires and their struggle for power. And he says, now we've reached the point where there's just a great evil possessing the entire valley. He's lurking in the shadows. He's hunting people, feasting on their prey. Yet it seems like more to this great evil. It's more than just killing. It's almost a holy sport to him. But I'll make you five a tremendous deal. I happen to know that the next few days for you are going to be quite unpleasant. Lots of cosmic pressure, broken hearts, or well, re-broken hearts. I can make all of this so much easier, so much smoother, happier, brighter. All you need to do is give me Mo. And then I'll just skip you right past the next few days and everything that could go wrong and terrible. And we'll just make it to the bright and happy future. Mo will make it there too. They'll just come with me.
No offense, sir, but hell no.
No.
Yeah, even Courtney's not into that.
I can't say no hard enough.
We ain't selling out our tour guide and mate here to Lord knows where.
Okay.
Yeah, we're like totally going to die out here without Mo. So like, I don't think we should do that.
Wait, you guys, just hold on. How do we know we can trust you, sir?
What reason have I given you not to trust me? Here.
You haven't given us a reason to.
Let me help. And he waves his hand and you see in front of you a projection of the clearing you're standing in. You see the last 30 minutes with the whole interaction with Kale and him looping and going through this pain and this death. But then you also see how many times it happened before you came over to him. And so he had experienced this multiple times before you were even aware. Kelly waves his arm and says, I could end his suffering early. Make sure that he never loops. He never has to go through that more than once. I'm not God, so I can't make him back to life. But, you know, I can ease his suffering a little quicker than you guys were able to. Is that something you guys would enjoy? Would that help you trust me? It's a kind of a catch 22 oh. here.
Oh, fuck. All right. Can you give us one more sec?
Of course.
Mo leads the group over again into a huddle.
He also does a little wink at Lizzie, but you know, you don't catch that. Courtney catches it.
Courtney is holding Lizzie, like physically holding her in this huddle.
I picture a very sibling-like smack upside the back of the head.
I didn't think you were going to like actually talk to him. Like,
oh my god, doing? Courtney, I just said hi and hey, my name's Lizzie. How are you? How's the weather up there? Because you're so much taller.
And then he told you about your destiny and all that.
No, he just asked if we were gonna come back and talk to him and side with him, or if we were gonna save the valley.
Well, did you promise him Mo? Because that was no. stupid. We're not giving up one of our own.
I thought about it, but no, I didn't. I would never have. I thought about it, but
what does Mo want to do? I feel like we should really ask them.
Avery says very seriously, if you lay a hand on Mo, I will break yours. She says very seriously.
Noah?
Yeah.
While everyone is arguing, can Mo slip away without anyone noticing?
Roll stealth.
Don't do it!
And all you have to do is beat a 14, because everybody else's passive perception tops out at 14.
I rolled an 18.
Okay, nice. So you sneak away, disengage from the conversation. Everybody else is still arguing with Lizzie about the terms of an agreement that she claims not to have made.
Can I go talk to him?
He has his hands over his ears. And as soon as you are close, he, without taking his hands off, says, I knew you'd be able to come talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just couldn't stop yourself, huh? Takes his hands down and spins around to face you.
Oh, get over yourself.
I did like a couple of centuries ago, but now I'm right back there. So it's like, I'm the baddest. Sorry.
All right. So I go with you. Everyone else is safe.
Well, okay. That's not what the terms were. I can't guarantee safety with the illogical decisions that humans make. I mean, we make left and right.
All right. Then just cut the bullshit. Tell me what you're offering me.
I'm offering a little skip. Past everything bad that could happen these next 2 days. We'll skip right to Thursday, because it's Tuesday, as we all know.
Sure.
Right. And what happens to me?
You come with me, we take the long way, and we'll go through some, we'll call it training, to make sure you're strong enough to do what you've got to do.
Uh-huh. All right.
Is that an agreement, as in... You'll take the deal, you'll go with us, and...
Yeah. Everyone else gets off easier.
I would like to say, at this point, everybody else becomes aware that Mo is not in the group anymore. As soon as the deal is laid out and bare, Kelly says, so you come with me, we skip everybody else to Thursday, and we figure out what we missed from there?
Do we hear this, or do we just see them talking?
You just see them. But I imagine you see Mo's face, and it is not... normal. It looks concerned and stressed, you know, like
no. I have a question that I meant to ask at the top of the episode, but how long were we planning on being out in the woods, like originally, like what was the everything goes perfectly normal plan?
2 day trip, give or take.
So we're still on day one.
Yeah, so yeah. We're always supposed to be out here till Thursday then.
Yeah,
okay,
sounds about right.
I did mean to ask that at the top to know like what kind of like provisioning we were planning on doing.
Yeah, so he lays the terms out that if you shake his hand and take this deal, everybody else will, in his words, get taken to Thursday, skip past all the unnecessary trauma of the next 2 days, and you would go the long way with Kelly.
Avery sees them talking and is going to, like, book it over there. It's like, and doesn't like what's happening. It's not going to go for the full body tackle this time, but is going to be like
a pretty bodily removal.
Mo, you do have enough time to have an action before anybody makes it to you.
Okay.
But the rest of the party is on their way over.
All right. Mo sees Avery sprinting towards him and sticks his hand out to Kelly. All right. We have a deal.
Kelly sticks his hand out, shakes your hand. The biggest shit-eating grin comes across his face, and he says, oh, of course. Thank you so very kindly, Mo. Much appreciated. And everybody loses consciousness. And that's where we're going to stop, I think.
This has been Queering People Saving Throws. Thank you so much for listening to our second episode. We've been so excited to share this up, myself particularly, for the hopeful peaks forward. This week is brought to you by August as Avery, KJ of Supernatural Opinions as Courtney, Elena as Gemma, Sam as Mo, and Noah as the DM. Check out the episode description for links to our socials to keep you posted on the show. Or for all that and more, hit up our website, queeringthingspodcast.com. We'll be right back after these short 2 weeks, so that'll be December 8th, see how this demon deal turns out. But till then, thanks for listening, and we wish you a peaceful road until we meet again.
I'm sweating.
This is why people play D&D, right?
My heart is beating so fast.
Oh.